us from heaven above. We thank God so much for being here tonight and for this opportunity to talk a little bit about the Lord and hopefully say something that would encourage you and help us bridge the gap, as they say, between the seasoned saints and the younger saints. We thank God because I was thinking about what a seasoned saint was and the gap between them and the others. And I didn't know if the seasoned saint meant you was up in age, or you've been coming to church a long time, or you was really saved. But regardless of that, there is a need for us to come together. The Bible talks about we then as workers together beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. So we're glad to be here. We're glad for our Bishop, Bishop Jeffrey. And I do want to say, as we are here tonight, that I hope and pray that we'll be here 10 o'clock in the morning. To hear our bishop. Because if you're going to bridge a gap, you got to go from one place to the other. And I don't think there's no better place to come in the morning than to hear our bishop open up the word of God. We get to hear it, you know, from the authority. We thank God for that. Thank God for Ella Jones and Ella Battle, Ella Robinson, all the holy elders, and all that are assembled here. We're here because the Bible says we should train up the young people in the way that they should go, so when they're old, they won't depart. And we are admonished to remember our Creator in the days of our youth, before the evil day comes. Because as many as our seasoned saints have found out that there's an evil day coming. If you was to go to the average person over a certain age, they got a lot of medicine in the medicine cabinet. Because they feel the evil day is creeping on them. When you can't get up like you used to get up. You can't go like you used to go. So God has given us an opportunity to come up young in the true church of God in Christ. My heart has been rejoicing in this convention because I see so many young people not only expressing themselves, but they're doing it with joy. And when they do it with joy, anything you do with joy, you know, you put your heart into it and you are getting something out of it. The Bible talks about how the joy of the Lord is our strength. And with joy, we draw water from the wells of salvation. Because no matter what we do and how we do, the bottom line is salvation. The question will be, are we saved? Are we going to have that internal inheritance with the Lord? I want to do a little different tonight and talk about a comparison. Use a comparison because Jesus often, when he spoke to the people, he used parables. And I don't know if I can call it a parable, but I want to take a scenario that's pretty relevant today and give you a picture of God's grace. And what I'm going to use is something that's in the air. It's in the news. I'm going to use the Super Bowl. Salvation, in a way, is like a contest. And in this contest, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, have already got the victory. He played the game. He suffered. He went to the cross. He was buked and beat and scorned. He was hung on a tree so that he might get the victory for us. We were locked out of the fellowship of God. There was no way to get to God. But God so loved us that he sent his only begotten son. And that son loved us enough to obey the Father, the Bible say, even to the death of the cross. He got the victory. Thank God who causes us to triumph in Christ. And we can have the same victory. The same victory. He came to give it to us. The Bible says, thanks be to God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God give us this victory. By grace are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We were not in a position to save ourselves. We were doing everything disobedient. We were doing everything wrong. We was against God. We was against ourselves. So this is what grace is all about. God did the work. And he provided us an opportunity. You see, like in the natural world, when they play the Super Bowl, the winner don't get the ring right then. He don't get the ring the later on. That next year, then they give out the rings. See, that's what it's like. Jesus has already won the battle. And he'll give you a ring. He'll give you eternal life. But guess what? You got something to do. You got something to do. See, that gift of God, the gift of eternal life, does not come without you doing something. You got something to do. First thing you got to do, you got to hear the message. You got to hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God is one Lord. That Jesus came to save you from your sins. Because in this thing, it ain't but two teams. It's the team of saints, and then it's the team of sinners. So you got to hear the message of God so that it will prick you in the heart and cause you to do the second thing. That's repent. You got to turn. Even as a young age, as a young person, because he said, this thing is for you and for your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You got something to do. So when you hear the message, you got to repent. Even if you've been grew up in the church, you still got to repent and be baptized and begin to obey the instruction. Now the thing about the instruction, the Bible say all must be taught of God. Just like on a team, when you go to that team, you don't start telling the coach what to do, do you? When you come out from among them, you come out from that crowd and you separate yourself, and then you don't touch the unclean things. And then he said, I'll receive you. I'll let you come on my team. I'll receive it in, because you cannot be a member of God's team touching the unclean things. Would that be fair? You're going to get a ring with the whoever win the Super Bowl, but you're going to do the stuff of our team that's losing. That wouldn't make much sense, would it? So you got to take teaching. You got to be taught of God. And then when you taught of God, you are taught from the manual of that team, or you use the playbook of that team. See, you can't come to church and then don't study the plays. You don't read the manual, and then you're going to know how to be in the game. That ain't going to work out. Because the coach is instructing you from the manual. And while I'm talking about that, you know there's a head coach. And then there's some assistant coaches who help him out. And if you want a mess on the team, let the assistant coach start going against the head coach. Obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your soul, as they that must give an account, that it might be with joy and not with grief. So we who are seasoned, we got to follow what the coach say too. Because he is an example to the flock. He's the one leading the flock, and he's the one giving the instruction. So all of us have to learn to speak the same thing, have the same mind, and the same judgment. So when we begin to execute holiness, it'll come out right. There won't be no division among us, and no mumbling and grumbling, see? See, now if I'm a seasoned saint and I say, well, you know, the coach, he the coach, but he don't quite have that play right. What's going to happen? See, I'll be a stumbling block in somebody's way. And sooner or later, the owner of the team, who is the Lord, he the owner, he going to fire me. Because I'm messing up the team. See, we're supposed to be working together. And if I go against what the coach say, the leader, the bishop, I ain't working with the team. I'm working against the team. Another thing about being successful, you got to attend practice. You got to be there. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner some is, but do it so much the more as you see the day approaching. See, one way to help us bridge the gap now is old and young. But see, young people, when you got a program, let me ask you a question. How would you feel if the seasoned saints or the older saints don't come watch you perform? Now, so how do you think they feel if when time comes for service, they don't never see no young people in the audience? So we have to bridge this thing. We got to go up the hill together. I come and support you. You come and support me. This is a part of the process. Another thing about a team. You got to wear the team uniform. Y'all know that one look right when that Super Bowl come around and them Falcons run out on the field and some of them got a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform on. See, in holiness, we are taught how we are supposed to look on the outside. We're supposed to be decent and becoming. Do you know that from creation, from the garden, God was concerned about dress? Because when the people got on the wrong team, Adam and Eve, they put on the team, they put on the clothes of sin. And God had to come back and dress them. He dressed them. He put the right clothes on them. The same way now, when you go from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible talks about how they were clothed in righteousness, clean and white. That was the righteousness of saints. The saints got a different dress. They don't dress like the world. So we have to learn these things as we go about doing what we do on the team. Another thing, when you're on a team, you got to wait your turn. As the Bible say, if any man strive for the masteries, he is not crowned unless he do it lawfully. You can't get ahead until you learn how to follow. You got to learn how to be taught. You got to learn how to be trained. And the ones training got to train right, and they will train right if they follow the one that's leading. But if they don't follow the one that's leading, they got their own thought and their own imagination, that's going to mess up too. So you see, when we are in this holy team together, there are things that we have to do. Another thing, you know, when teams come together, you know, teams got their own song. See, when you're in the church, you sing song and spiritual songs and hymns. How would it look like you on the saints team and then you singing the world songs? Did that look like the kind of work that you should be doing if you're a saint? That ain't gonna work. And then while you a saint and you're doing what you do, do you know you have to support one another? Love one another. The Bible talks about do all things for edifying. So if I'm a senior saint, I got to figure out and think, like I hear Bishop pray all the time, and I done start praying it too. Lord, help me to think right. I need to know how to think right. I need to know how, when I go among the young people, how to encourage them, how to talk to them, how not to put them down and beat them down and cut them down, but to lift them up. You know, Jesus had that scenario in the Bible where the disciples saw the little children coming to Jesus and they wanted to push them away. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and don't forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. And except we humble ourselves and come as children, we won't get the kingdom. We'll get put out. If we get high-minded, if we get haughty, if we get exalted in our minds and in our spirit that we so much, it's not going to work with God. We just work us together. We just got one goal, and that goal is to receive the eternal life that God has for us. And it's going to take all of us doing the things that we're supposed to do. Coming to church. Getting spiritual. Listening to the message of the gospel. Doing all we can to walk upright. The Bible says, as obedient children, we got to obey. We can't fashion ourselves according to the former lust in our when we was working for the devil. We can't do that. But we got to be holy, just like, and you know, it was so encouraging. You know, Brother Hall, he blessed my soul. To see a young man And you know what about him? That's right, give him a hand. And you know what? On Sunday, he do the same thing. When they singing them songs, he be up clapping his hand. He be praising the Lord. See, that lets you know the word of God is working. You know, he don't have no respect to person. The word of God will work in the young just like it will in the old. I know he talks about it sometimes, but I use this to elevate. When he was young, going down the road with Bishop, he wasn't in his 20s. He was in his teens. He was interested, and he couldn't wait to go to church. He didn't wait. And see, this is what happens when we get this thing perfected. See, we got to perfect holiness. We got to perfect our team. Caring for one another, loving one another. Listen to the gospel. There was a serious indictment in this, and I think it's in Matthew 7, I think it is, or one of them scriptures, but he talked about how when I was sick, you didn't see about me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. See, there are things that we got to do to help one another. And so that our love may abound more and more. We got love here. We got it. Ain't no doubt about it. I feel it. I see it. But we can grow. We can get better. Because when we talk about bridging the gap, you know what the number one motivating thing that bridges the gap? Love. Love, 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 that love, a cover fault, that love, it won't think evil, it'll bear all things. That's what love will do. Love won't criticize. It won't put stuff out. You know, we talking about a team just a few days ago. The coach was saying something in the locker room, and one of the players, he put it on Facebook. Y'all remember that? And he got reprimanded. See, love a cover fault. If something going on in the church you don't understand or you don't like, you don't put it on Facebook. You don't make a YouTube video about it. Why? You love what you're in. Do you know when you talk about it, you making the gospel shame through you? That's what you're making shame. You're making yourself look bad. You mean you're a part of that and that's what's going on? Best thing to do is just cover it up. Don't tell nobody. Why? Because you got a watchman on the wall. And Bishop was preaching a few Sundays ago and he went through a whole lot of things. And he said, I just want y'all to know I'm watching. And I see what's going on. This thing is set up by God himself. And we read it all the time, Ephesians 4 and 11, what he placed in the church. And what he placed it for. The work of the ministry. The edifying of the body of Christ. And the perfection of the saints. We got to get perfect. Our love got to be perfected. Our knowledge got to increase. And when our love get perfected, our doing will increase. God will build up a testimony in us so that we can reach the world. We thank God. We can go on. We don't want to talk long. I want to shorten this thing. But I want us to know that the Lord is coming back. And he's coming for a church not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that church got to be holy and without blemish. is the dressing up room. That's the practice field. We are practicing holiness, trying to get our holiness perfect. We can see the times. Perilous times are here. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. We got to be prepared. There's going to be a great ceremony in heaven one day. The Lord is going to come back. The dead in Christ going to rise first. Those that are alive and remain, we're going to be caught up together. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from God out of heaven. That's our goal. That's what we're working for. We thank the Lord. I think we said enough. God bless you.